Got a clog in my throat. We'll see if we can't get past it. We will, either way. I'm going to read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I read some of them earlier, but that's okay. I'm going to read them again, and we will get started. It says, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews because of the Hellenists, because of their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas the proselyte from Antioch. They set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them." Amen. "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and the great many priests were obedient to the faith. And then Stephen, full of power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Amen. Father, just speak to everyone through your word. In spite of what I say, Lord, speak to everyone. With your spirit, take your word, and you speak to their heart. And it is in your son's name. Amen. There are a lot of things in this passage that I could bring out and that I could make the emphasis of the sermon. But I am going to make it on Stephen. I'm going to make Stephen the emphasis of the sermon here, because I'm going to do chapter 7 as well. I'm actually going to skip most of it. And at the very end, where he was martyred for Jesus. Because you see, Stephen was just a man. He was a man chosen to be a deacon, many believe. But he preached the word of God with boldness. And when he, first of all, I got a little bit ahead of myself, but that's okay. First of all, every now and then, Luke takes a step back and he gives us a snapshot of the way things are going in the church. First of all, he's saying that the saying pleased the whole multitude and they chose Stephen. It pleased the whole multitude. They were unified. They still are unified. They still are unified in the church. Verse 7. "And the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. So a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." The word of God was multiplying. And something I thought was interesting that I'd never picked up on before, a bunch of the priests were saved. A bunch of the priests gave their hearts and their lives to Christ. And so when we think about that, we think about verse 8, "Magnified, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great signs and wonders among the people." This speaks to the magnification of God's word. See, I said last week that the apostles used their signs and wonders as an occasion for the ministry, as an occasion for the evangelist, as an opportunity to preach the word. And so now here he is going to use it as an opportunity to preach the word. He's going to preach a great sermon here in a little bit. He is magnifying the Lord. He is, not only Stephen, but you have Philip in there too, the great preacher, the great evangelist, Philip, the great evangelist. And so what are they going to do? It's more than serving tables. Amen. It's more. is so much more. This is a message for us all. This is a message for everyone to be full of the Holy Spirit. Let me look at them with you. Verse 3, qualifications, Holy Spirit and wisdom. Verse 5, verse 8, full of faith and power. Holy Spirit and wisdom. The Holy Spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, verse 15 through 18. See them that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit, is to be absolutely controlled by Him. And notice He says, He talks about don't be unwise, but know what the will of the Lord is. And that comes from being filled with the Spirit. Knowing what God's will is comes from being filled with the Spirit. It's not being unfilled. That's not a word. Let's look at another verse. Luke chapter 21, verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict and resist. Was the preaching that got him in trouble. It was the preaching that aroused their ire. It was, I'm not really going to go over it. I probably should, but I'm not really going to go over it. But it was, they couldn't stand his wisdom. They couldn't stand against his wisdom. And it was against his wisdom that these men came and opposed they had to be able, competent in administration. They had to be able to deal with the situation, but they had to be so much more. They had to be filled with the Spirit. They had to be filled with God's Holy Spirit as He came and as He brought them His Word. It's full of faith and power. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Full of faith and power, he had his eyes in heaven. He saw heaven. He saw the invisible. He saw what you couldn't see. He saw heaven. Look, Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7 says, by faith, this is the roll call of faith, by the way. We call it the hall of faith. By faith, Noah, when he'd been divinely warned of things not yet seen. Not yet seen. Rain, not yet seen. He built a boat. He built an ark that he was going to move. Verse 8, Abraham, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place which he would receive as inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. Verse 10, and he waited for a city whose builder and foundation, whose builder and maker was God. He waited for a city who its builder was God. Verse 10, verse 13, and these all died in the faith, not having received the promise, having seen them far off, and they were assured of them. They saw their promises afar off, and they were assured of them. They were assured that they would be true. They all died not having received them. They died not having received the promise. Can you have faith when you die not having received the promise? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. O king, we're going to honor God, and he's going to take care of us. But even if he doesn't. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship you. We're still going to honor God. Can you honor God when you don't see your promise, when you don't get your promise, when you see it afar off? For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And if they had called to mind a country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared for them. Put your eyes on heaven. Put your eyes in heaven. See the risen Lord. That's what Stephen did. That's what Stephen saw, the risen Father who was standing there. Let me go ahead and skip forward just for a little bit. Starting in verse 54 of chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed their teeth at him. Now, let me tell you something. You can read in here if you have like little titles about your about the different sections. They brought some people into trump up charges against Stephen. That's where I stopped. And Stephen starts addressing them. He addresses them with the call of Abraham. And then he goes to the patriarchs of Egypt. And then he goes to God deliver. Listen, they're probably listening. Then Israel rebels against God. Now, wait a minute. Now, I don't know that about that. And then he goes on, God's true tabernacle. And then he goes on and he says, you stiff neck, verse 51, you stiff neck and uncircumcised in your heart and in your ears. He says, which of you killed the risen Lord? Which of you killed him? And when they heard these things, this is verse 54 now, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed their teeth at him. They were so mad, they gnashed their teeth at him. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Let me stop for a second. Psalms 110 verse 1, God says to Jesus, says, come up here and sit at my right hand until I make my enemies your footstool. And Mark 16:19, oh, I should have had it memorized what it says. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he received them up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So now what's he doing standing? What's he doing standing when he sees when Stephen is dying? What's he doing standing when Stephen sees him? There are a lot of different commentators with a lot of different opinions. I believe he was receiving the martyr. Stephen's martyr. He was receiving him. He was counting him worthy. He was standing to receive him. You know, there's two kinds of crowns mentioned in the Bible. Man, there may be more. There's really two main kinds of crowns. One is the diadema, the royal crown. You can't inherit that crown. Then there is the Stephanos, the victor's crown. You don't inherit that crown. That crown is earned. That crown is given to people who die for who are persecuted for the Son of God. I had something there for that. Oh, it's in Revelation chapter 2, and I know you're. Yes, for those who were persecuted. There's a lot more that he could do and that he could say. But Stephen saw the right hand of God. Stephen saw the Lord at the right hand of God. He said, look, I see heavens open and I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice. They stopped their ears. they ran at him with one accord. They cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. We're introduced to Saul here, by the way. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this, do not charge them with this sin." And when he heard this, he fell asleep. That's another way of saying that he died. But he said, "Look," he said, "I see them, the Son of Man standing." The Son of Man is a phrase that comes from Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. It says, "I was watching." Listen, don't get too caught up in this. These are the visions of Daniel, and this is a great one right here. He says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. And the peoples and the nations and the languages served him. The dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed." What was Jesus' favorite title for himself? Son of Man. Son of Man. He chose. It was really kind of an obscure title. You would think it would be more prominent, but it wasn't. It wasn't used that much. It was really kind of an obscure title. But the Son of Man clearly was the Messiah. It, to him was given by the Ancient of Days, kingdoms, and all this kind of stuff. Look over in Revelation chapter 1. I hope I didn't get those revelations mixed up with my revelation. I don't think I did. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. "And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man." One like the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to his feet and girded about his chest. Revelation 14, 14. This is the reaper. "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on that cloud sat one like the Son of Man. Sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." The Son of Man. The Son of Man. My friends, the Son of Man is at the right hand of God. He's standing there now, waiting for you and for me. He's waiting for us to surrender our lives to him. It's more than serving tables. It's walking with him and talking with him and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's receiving the gift that God gives to you. You know, we talk so much about the great patriarchs, and we think this is a great guy, but and in a way he was, but in a way he was just a guy like you and like me. And we talk so much about the greatness of him, and we go, "I don't know if I could do that." Let me tell you something, my friends. If you have God's Holy Spirit, you will do it. You will do it. You will not take a second thought. Well, you might take a second thought, but you will do it. And when Christ gives you a gift, it comes in you, and you get it, and you can fulfill that promise. He was fulfilling it. He was preaching. Philip, we'll read about later, was an evangelist, and we think they were just deacons, just deacons. This is for everybody. This is for everybody in the church. Amen. When God gives you a gift, use it. Use it. Use it to the best of your ability. Stand up with me, if you would. I don't know where you are today as far as where you are in your walk with God. But here's what I do know. I do know that Christ is waiting. That Christ is waiting for you. I do know that Christ wants to come in. I do know that Christ wants to fill you and use you. But first, you got to say yes. You got to say yes to Jesus. You got to say yes to Him. If you want to come and say yes for the first time, just come tell me, I want to say yes. I'll lead you in a prayer. Just come. There's nothing secret about that prayer, but I'll lead you in it. Just come and worship. If you want to pray, come and pray. If you want me to pray with you about something, I'll pray with you about it. Whatever you want, whatever you need, you come right now while we sing.